What a joy. Bishop Kobe and I were fellowshipping prior to the service, and we have been in the area pastoring about the same length of time here in the Florence area. And some of you were part of the fellowship that was in the building that they now have over in Sheffield, and I mentioned that to him. And so I just am happy about you brothers and sisters being with us tonight here at Grace House, and I believe God's up to something in this. And amen. And I'm also grateful that Bishop did acquiesce and said he would be glad to preach tonight when I ask him. So I know that we're going to be blessed, and I know that you will hear him gladly. And would you join me standing, please, and let's welcome Bishop Kobe Fitzgerald to the pulpit. And also we welcome his lovely wife, Katina. Bless you, dear sister.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Eddie, actually, before you go, I have something for you. Our ministry, first of all, let me say thank you. And I just want to thank you for opening up your doors and allowing us to come in. And actually, this is my second time here. We came once your wife wasn't here. And I asked your wife to do something, and she did not do it. Imagine that. No, yeah, okay. Just imagine. Don't come in. Probably wouldn't be good for you. So we were touring the wonderful facility, as our church will get to do in a moment, and I asked her, she just kind of casually said, I think boasting on how beautiful the children's ministry or children's wing was. And she was like, well, yeah, but some of the ladies want some blinds. And I said, I just felt so compelled. It was such warmth and love that we were greeted with. And plus our ministry, is one of our key scriptures is Genesis 8:22. And so we know that as long as the earth remains, there will always be seed time and harvest. And we know how to put seed in good ground. So I asked her to find out how much the blinds cost and give me the bill because I wanted to buy the blinds for the children's ministry. And I still hadn't received that call. But when you allowed the church to come, God spoke to my heart and I spoke to our church. And for whatever you see fit, we want to sow a $5,000 seed to this house.
Wow. That's wonderful. Stretch your hands this way.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we receive this.
Yes, Lord.
From our brothers and sisters.
Yes, Lord.
And from you.
Yes, Lord.
And we ask that you would multiply it back to them over and
yes.
over and over again.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I know they have a vision of that new piece of property and
yes,
a new
Lord.
Building sitting on it. And new daycare centers.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we are joining with them tonight, decreeing and declaring that you are bringing that to pass.
Yes.
That everything they need will come from the north,
yes.
the south, and the east, and the west.
Yes.
And we bless you tonight and
yes.
thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Hey, we might invite you back next month, too.
Well, we'll come back with a seed. We will. We will. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. We're excited about it. Amen. Because we know nothing grows unless you put a seed in the ground. And so we're just excited about that. I'm so grateful for Pastor Eddie and his wife just opening the doors. I just wanted to come and sit tonight. And I wanted our people just to see this wonderful edifice. It's something that I'm carrying in my heart and in my mind. And it's the closest thing to what I believe is in my heart. So instead of me trying to draw it out and sketch it out and talk to the architect about it last, I said, well, let's just go see first. Amen. And so thank you, Ecclesia, for coming, and you will understand that in more detail immediately after this service. And so in the midst of that, then Pastor Eddie calls and said, well, hey, brother, you're coming. I want you to preach. And so since I'm a preacher, I guess that's what I'll do. All right. Well, listen, I want to talk about something tonight. I need you guys to know I'm loud, I'm animated, sound ministry, get ready, because usually the longer I talk, the louder I get. But we're going home at a decent time on tonight. We're gonna do that. But I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here tonight. I believe God is up to something great. Matter of fact, I know God is up to something great. And the greatest part about that is you and I are part of it. For every one of us that are born again, washed in the blood of our risen and majestic Savior, we are a part of something that tonight, it's bigger than Ecclesia, it's bigger than Grace House, it's bigger than our ethnicities, it's bigger than whether you're for the donkey or the elephant. I really don't care, because the lamb is bigger than both of them. I want you to know that on tonight, and it's called the kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom of our God. And I come to serve notice tonight, this kingdom that we're a part of, it is not going down, and we're not going to leave out of here. I do believe he's coming back at us, but we're going to have to occupy until he comes. But I believe this is the greatest hour to be alive. Some people say they wish they were here when Moses was here so they could part the Red Sea. And some people say they wish they were here when Jesus was here and they could have saw him turn water into wine. But I am grateful to be alive at such a time as this. And I'm here to announce, not because it happened at Asbury, not because it's happening at college campuses all over the world, but revival has started. I want you to know that. We're getting ready to see the glory of God. I know revival has started because we have little Kendall at our church that went to her student Christian athlete club, and she stood up and told them, how old is Kendall, 12, 13, 14? She declared her faith in front of her fellow students over at Muscle Shoals High School, and she said, listen, winning is good. But glorifying God with our gifts and our talents and giving our life to him, it's better. That's because revival is starting. And then we had Sister Barbara there. She said, I could tell it. She called me on this week. God healed her of cancer over in last year. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Not only did he heal her of cancer on last year, the doctor called her back in the office and said, we see something we don't like, but what the doctor thought he saw is not there, because a physician greater than any natural doctor. She is totally cancer-free tonight. It's because revival has started. I know we've heard it. I know we've prayed about it. I know we've said it. But it's beginning, and it's beginning in the house of God. Our sister Taylor, we have people. I can give you countless and countless stories where people, their hearts are being rent toward God. And Sister Taylor, she said in the back, if she don't mind me saying, she was kind of in and out, kind of out and in. But something happened to Sister Taylor about 4 or 5 months ago. And as of this Sunday, she led her first song in worship. She joined the worship team. I am telling you, this is an exciting time to be alive. And here I am tonight, standing in Grace House, proclaiming the word of God about our Savior to my neighbors. And some of you are literally my neighbors. to my neighbors, to my brothers and my sisters in Christ. However, I don't want us to be naive tonight, because although we're a part of this great, majestic, authoritative, and powerful kingdom, there are many people that don't know what's going on. They don't know. They're here, not necessarily here in Grace House or in this room tonight, but perhaps there are those in this room tonight that don't really understand what is happening. When you look at the news, you watch CNN or Fox, you may not understand. And you may choose to believe another narrative. But I want you to know tonight, I believe the word of God. And I believe he's coming back for a bride that is without a spot and that is without a blemish. message. Now listen, I'm not a doomsday prophet, so I don't want you to think anything like that. I'm just here to encourage your heart that, you know, we really should buckle down, buckle in, and enjoy the ride, because it's about to, yes, we're going to suffer some more persecution. Yes, there are going to be outside forces that are going to come against the kingdom of our God, but I've already read the end of the book. They will not win. Yes. This is what I need to announce boldly on tonight. Satan has never won. Satan is not winning now. And he never will win. Because our God is victorious. But the Lord did tell me to challenge us tonight that in this time that we are living, we need to follow the Issachar mandate. You say, well, what is the Issachar mandate? You've probably heard it before. And we're going to look tonight at several scriptures, but I want to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32. It says, from Issachar, men who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. There were 200 chiefs with all their kinsmen at their command. There were 200 chiefs with all their kinsmen at their command. What was happening in the text, the system Laban, as I like to call it, or the situation in life, this is when something was happening political in Israel at this time, because now it was time for David to assume the throne. But out of all the tribes, only the tribe of Issachar understood the time and the season. They were the only one that knew that, yes, there was something happening political and that was ready to be a political shift, but they were the only one that had the spiritual wisdom and insight enough to know that, yes, a monarchy was getting ready to end, but a theocracy was getting ready to start. They the only ones that understood it. It was more than Saul being rejected and God saying, I found a man after my own heart. And I often wonder, out of all the tribes, how did these 200 men with all of their kinsmen, how did this 200 know what was on the mind of God? And that's what I want to share with you tonight. God does not want us ignorant concerning this great kingdom. He wants us to know. Now, he is God, and he will forever be God, and his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But he wants to share with us tonight through our friend, the Holy Spirit, and through the gift of discernment, he wants us to know what time and what season we are in. So I'm here tonight to encourage you. There is a need unlike any other in the church of the living God today. As we come to the end of the age, we're not coming to the end of the world, because the Bible declares that this is now a world without end. But we are getting ready to come to the end of the age. I don't know when. I'm not telling you tomorrow. I'm not telling you next week. I'm not telling you next year. But when I read Matthew chapter number 24, I see the signs of the time. Amen. And the scripture tells us when we see these things, we are to look up, for our redemption is drawing nigh. We're not to be afraid. We're not to stop proclaiming Jesus. We're not to bow down. As a matter of fact, that's the time we are to spare not and cry loud the more. Amen. Amen. There is a need for greater discernment to maximize the kingdom agenda. You see, we're not here tonight to do our agenda. We're not here tonight to do Grace House agenda. We're not here to do Eddie Lawrence or Kobe Fitzgerald's agenda, but we're here tonight to promote the agenda of the king of this kingdom in which you and I have been called into. And just in case you don't know his name is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, who is Lord. That's who he is. That's who he is. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, the bride of Christ. And I'm talking to you and I that are in this room. We must know, the bride must know what she ought to be doing in this hour. When we look at this Old Testament story that I use for a base of tonight's teaching, these men, I'm telling you, they had sagacity. They had the ability to know what political political move needed to be made, but it was bigger than that. It was about the wisdom that they understood the spiritual need for the nation to move forward in God's agenda. They understood that Saul had now been rejected. And in R. Tuck's sermon of Understanding the Time, he posited that every believer needs to know four things. Number one, he says that every believer needs to see below the surface appearances and the loud outcries of the partisans what is the real want of the times. R. Tuck says we've got to be able to look beyond the smoke screens, and we've got to tap into heaven, and we've got to spend some time with God through prayer and worship. I'll talk about it in a moment. Through the Word of God. And we must see what is the real want of the times. And I know if you talk to a psychologist, and I'm in that field, they may tell you one thing. You talk to a counselor, you talk to a sociologist, they all have different recipes and rubrics of what America needs, of what the church needs, of what Florence and Sheffield needs, but I have a simplified answer. We need Jesus and His kingdom. We need His kingdom to be established in our hearts. And so we got to look beyond those surface appearances. We have to look beyond those things that people put before us to keep us divided and arguing, to cause us to forget that we are one in Christ, that there's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. Do I have anyone in this room? Yes. Number two, he says we need to devise schemes which will hopefully meet both the present necessity and demands, and also provide for possible but a present unforeseen development. He is saying that if we're going to be relevant in this hour, if we're going to advance the kingdom of our God, we must be prophetic people. We must be prophetic enough to meet the needs of the day, but strategic enough to know where we need to be going. Are you here in the room with me? The third thing he says, to choose the time for action. This is really, really important. You cannot move on every whim, every iota. You can never move on emotion, but you must ask God for a strategic plan. When is it our time? We're doing this at Ecclesia right now. We just entered a 5-year season of prayer for this building that we're going to build, but I'm not building it in my time. We want to know when God tells us to move. When does God want it erected for His glory? Where do you want us to sow seed? Who do you want us to call? We must choose the time for action, because moving in your flesh will cause you to suffer unnecessary losses. It will. It will. I've been there. I've done that. I've got the t-shirt. You just can't see it for the jacket that I have on. We need to become a more efficient people, and we need to be wisely delayed sometimes. I know He's the God of yes, but He's also the God of wait. And He's even the God of no. Okay, I know you guys don't like that one there. But we need to seek God, and we need to have discernment in this hour so that we can be efficient and we can be effective. I said this to Ecclesia, long is the day. I'm no longer believing God for grace to start over. I'm believing God for the grace to keep me out of error, to cause me to use wisdom and godly insight. We don't have the time that we had years ago. And someone here needs to know, you shouldn't be asking God for a do-over. You should be asking Him for the grace to keep me from falling and to make wise decisions that will bring you glory and that will cause me to maximize my time here on earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I will say that I was praying today, and as I was praying today, God told me that someone would be in this service, that you have a contract that you're praying over. You have two contracts, as a matter of fact, if I heard God correctly. You have two contracts, and one seems too good to be true. And God told me to tell you it is too good to be true. Tear it up. It will cause you pain. It will cause you suffering. It looks like it's greater because it's more, but you will suffer. And God says if you follow Him and hear His voice, you will prosper off the lesser. Okay, I'll share that, and I'll leave that alone. You can call me when that comes forth. Okay, he says to choose a time for action which proves most efficient and to wisely delay when necessary, even at the peril of being misrepresented. Because, see, there are people who want you to respond. They want you to react. They want you to move. There are people who will demand of you to make a move. But when you're walking with God and you're spending time in prayer and you're being intimate with the Father, if he says wait, then wait. If he says go, then go. In other words, I'm telling you, learn to move with the crowd. Not the crowd, move with the cloud. If the cloud stop, you stop. If the cloud go, you go. If the cloud hover, you hover. Fourth thing he says, and I'm moving, he says the fourth thing every believer needs in order to discern the time and season is to estimate fairly the wholes and not the parts of a subject so to act for all the parties and the above party. We must now be accountable for our behavior. We must be accountable for what we say concerning our fellow brothers and sisters. We've got to think about the whole. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm sure Pastor Eddie will not like everything I say, may not like everything I have on, but we have to think about the whole. There is something greater than the things that separate us and our idiosyncrasies and our differences. But we're all made one by that self-same spirit and by the blood of the Lamb. And so we must know, we've got to think about the whole. I can't put my mouth on my brother. I can't entertain gossip. I can't entertain, am I in here by myself? I can't entertain rumors. There is something greater at stake than the latest rumor mills that are running around town. We have to think about the whole. It's not about us. It's not about what we think. It's about not about what we feel. Matthew 24 and 24, it says, for there shall arise false Christ, and there shall arise false prophets. And they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is why we need discernment, beloved. Because Jesus admonishes us through Matthew in the 24th chapter. Jesus admonishes us that the good news is, listen to that, let me read this again. He said, for there shall arise false Christ. And there shall arise false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Y'all missed a good place to shout right there. Because it's teaching us for those who have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be deceived. It says, if it was possible they would deceive the very elect, then that suggests to me there is a possibility of the elect not being deceived. You cannot be deceived when you're walking and communing and fellowshipping with God. But make no mistake about it, it's through our friend that I call Holy Spirit. I don't put a definite or indefinite article on it. I just call him Holy Spirit because he's a person. So that's how you're going to hear me refer to him. It's through Holy Spirit. It's through fellowship with him. It's through the power to immune us from deception. But if you are not walking and filled with his Spirit daily, it is possible that even the very elect could be deceived. Because there will rise false Christ. There will rise. There's nothing you can do about it. There will rise false prophets. There will be great signs and there will be great wonders, but they won't all be of the Father. They won't all be from heaven. And so what are the three things we need? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Here's three things I think we need if we want to heighten our discernment. Amen. Now, first of all, I think the first thing we need is a petition. Everyone say a petition. Now, for you master theologians and pronosticators and preachers in here, I'm going to say the second thing we need is prayer. And I know you already want to argue, well, petition is prayer. Well, just stay on the line. And the third thing we need is practice. So I believe with the right petition, with active prayer, and with continual practice, we can garner a greater sense of discernment so that we can maximize the kingdom in this hour without fail. Let's look. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 10, it teaches us concerning the gift of discernment. But we must remember that Holy Spirit is the root of all discernment. So I know you want to say, Brother Kobe, I don't have the gift of discernment, but you have the Holy Spirit that is the root of discernment, that knows all things, that searches all things, even the mind of God. So I'm suggesting to you tonight, you may not have the gift, but you have what you need to know. Hallelujah. You have what you need to know. Then the second thing I want to say to you, if you lack discernment, according to Psalms 119 and 66, we can ask God for discernment. Yes, we can. Look, listen at what this scripture says from the psalmist. It says, teach me good discernment and knowledge. Wasn't that deep? I know you thought it was going to be a big, deep scripture. It simply says, the psalmist says, Father, I have a petition. And my petition is that you would teach me good discernment and knowledge. In the Hebrew, the word is, give me good taste. The phraseology is, Lord, let me have good taste. You know, I think I did pretty good today. I dressed myself. My wife didn't do it. And my dark blue pants. Matching my light blue jacket and my pink and blue shirt, I think I have pretty good taste. That's discernment. That these colors work together. So you're literally saying to God, give me good taste. Don't let me walk around mismatched. Don't let me walk around naming the name of a believer, but walking in darkness. Don't let me walk around saying I'm a child of the light, but I'm stumbling in the ways of darkness every day because I've never sought you to give me discernment. The psalmist says we can act. James says it like this, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraideth or does not hold it back. So we can petition God for discernment. Following the psalmist's example, we can ask for it. But point number two, not only can we petition for more discernment and our discernment to be heightened, but I believe when we spend time in prayer. You say, now, Pastor, why would you use two words that are so akin and so interchanged and often misnomered in the church? Why would you use prayer different from petition? Because I'm talking about biblical prayer. I'm not talking about the prayer that we just go to God and give him our wish list. I'm not talking about, and yes, if you need healing, ask for it. If you need deliverance, ask for it. If you need salvation, ask for it. But there is a time when prayer will increase your discernment when it's through the word and prayer. What do you mean? I believe that the word and prayer are the pillars of a believer's success. I believe that the word and prayer should be at the core of all that we do. I believe it's the word and prayer that causes genuine spiritual growth and development. Unfortunately, many people have separated prayer from the word of God, which leads to ineffective and amiss prayers that seek self-will thoughts and ideas. In other words, we pray from earth to heaven instead of praying from heaven to earth. But when you read the model prayer and they went to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. We see you're a man of prayer. You always praying. He says, pray after this manner. It's not a prayer. It's a model for prayer. It's a prescription for prayer. He says, this is the manner you ought to pray. Start out by acknowledging he is our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Don't miss this second part. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in, unfortunately, many of our prayer conferences. They cost big bucks to go to. Unfortunately, from men and women of God, and I'm not speaking against them, but who have now made themselves master teachers on prayer. Their regimen and their rubric is disassociated from the Word of God. You can't have prayer without the Word of God. Matter of fact, you're probably praying your own will and not His will if you're not praying the Word of God. But when you pray the Word of God, God responds. When you call God's Word back to His remembrance and you decree that you want what heaven has established to be established upon the earth, you see bodies heal. You see renewal. You see revival come. While the church has always boasted that, you know, we're the place that preaches the Word, many have made the Word of God of none effect through the traditions of men. We must trust His Word by faith without any filters of reason, tradition, earthly culture, secular humanism, ideas, agendas of the Antichrist, of what you think, of what you want, and what you feel. That's a mouthful. In other words, we must pray, and even if heaven's answer hurt, we've got to trust God and believe that that's what we are going to do, and by the sufficiency of His grace, even when it hurts, He will help us to walk it out. We've got to get back to biblical praying. I'm not talking about this traditional Sunday school small group idea of prayer when we go to God and we give Him our wish list. I'm talking about aligning our wants with His will. That's a big statement there. I'm talking about aligning our wants with His will. Most of us pray to God, and we want God to align His will to our wants. But for where we're going, it's got to be His will and not our will. And then trust that He is our shepherd. And He know what we want. Amen. That's where we got to come to. We got to come back to this place of prayer where we are broken. This place of prayer where we're not just saying, God, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. Have you forgotten He's our Heavenly Father that knows what we have need of even before we ask? He is our Father that if He watches over the sparrows, the same one that is so intimately acquainted with us that every hair, every gray one I tried to dye, and every gray one I tried to pluck up, He still has an accurate count. And if He is that intimately acquainted with who I am, He knows what I need. And He will meet that need as a loving Father. Yes, He will. Prayer will help you discern the will of God. It will help you move your prayer from it will help you move your prayer from heaven to earth and not the reverse. I did say from heaven to earth and not the reverse. It's your kingdom come and your will be done. We must increase in our devotional prayer. We must equally, simultaneously increase in our study of the Word. We must desire to maximize our kingdom influence and commitment. And I'm here to tell you, it will not happen without a dedicated prayer life. It will not happen. I know you've been in church all your life. I know you made it to elder status. I know you made it to this and you made it to that. But if Jesus was a man in prayer, of prayer, you and I are going to have to pray. If Jesus had to pray in order to fulfill the assignment of God upon His life that the kingdom of God could be established upon the earth, you and I are going to have to pray. And we're going to have to do it more. And we're going to have to seek his principles. And we're going to have to find out his word. And we're going to have to pray his word versus our feelings, our thoughts, or our ideas. Finally, the last thing I want to tell you, not only must we go to God with our petitions if we need discernment asked, not only must we spend time in the prayer and word, the third thing we must do is practice. Everyone say practice. Did he just say practice? I did. I said practice. Discerning or discernment must be practiced like any other gift or talent. Man, this worship team did not get up here and do this tonight because they are practice licks. We call it preparation over at Ecclesia. And things go better with preparation. Things go better. Your finances go better when you practice the law of preparation. And so for those of us that want to grow in the gifts, we must learn to practice. If you have a talent you want to develop, you must practice. Somehow we think practice is not spiritual enough. Somehow we think it's not mystical enough. You know, we didn't get a goosebump. Because we woke up and intentionally said, today, Father, I'm going to practice the principles of your word and I'm going to walk in discernment. I submit to us that most of us are failing because we're not intentional. We just want Holy Spirit to just come rescue us out. But it doesn't work that way. You've got to be intentional, and you must practice. The more you use it, the more you will become familiar with it. The more you listen to God's voice, the more you will become familiar with it. And he already has given us this promise, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. I told the church, somebody asked me, well, how do I know the voice of God? I said, the greatest way to learn the voice of God is by obeying the last thing he told you. Because the more you obey what God says, the more you realize how God sounds when he speaks to you. It's called practice. Everyone say practice. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, this is my last scripture I'll share, verses 54 through 57, we see Jesus condemning the hypocritical crowd. Some people thought he was talking to the disciples, but actually he was talking to the Pharisees. And he was talking to them because they could predict the weather based on the wind, based on the sun, based on the elements, based upon all the signs that were going on. But they lacked spiritual discernment and prophetic insight and understanding to know who he was and what he came to do. And so Jesus rebukes them in verses 54 through 56 of the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And he said also to the people, let me Fitzgeraldize it. This is interesting. When you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway or immediately, instantaneously, you say, it's going to rain. Because I see the signs. I know, and it is so. And when you see a south wind blow, you say, there will be heat. Because you understand the natural elements that all are around you. In verse 56, he says, you are hypocrites because you discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it that you do not discern the time? He says to them, you're practicing when you see the south wind. You're practicing when you see a cloud rise out of the west, but you're not practicing to discern why I really came and the kingdom that I really came to establish. Well, let me tell you, Grace House, it was more than about you moving from the movie theater to get over here to Seville Street. God is doing something greater than that here. It's more than a building. It's more than letting these loud people that, by the way, are your brothers and sisters. It's greater than that. God is up to something great, and it's called establishing His kingdom in the earth. But if we don't have discernment, and if we don't practice that discernment, we may be ahead of God, we may be behind God, but we won't move with God. And it should be our desire tonight. We should want to move with God. Just as many rely upon earthly knowledge and daily weather predictions and planning. I know I do. I try to get up every morning and try to catch the news so I know how to dress. Do I need long sleeves, short sleeves? Do I need my umbrella? Which car am I going to drive? All of those things. It makes a difference in my day. We should equally, if not more, rely upon Holy Spirit to discern the accuracy of spiritual times. We should rend our heart of being out of season and unprepared with misguided ambitions and seeking God's grace only for recovery. Well, that's okay. If I miss it, you know, God is gracious and God is merciful. And listen, if anybody know that, I know that. I can go ahead and tell you, I'll need His grace tomorrow. You may not. I needed it before I got saved. I need it right now. And I will guarantee you, I'll need it tomorrow as well. And it's available. But it's more than that. There is a power that abides with us. There is a presence that is with us. That is grace that is available to help us move with God and lay hold on the promises of God without delay. And this is just where I am in my life. I'm ready to see a real move of the kingdom. When it's not about the marquee, when it's not about the name on the door, when it's not about who the senior pastor is, when people will just know if God is at Grace House, that's where I'm going. If God is moving in the Saturday prayer, I was listening at the Fix and I was so excited to know there's a church beside Ecclesia that still prays and believe God for supernatural healing. Yes, we go. We get opinions of doctors. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Did you hear what I said? Yes, we get opinions. We get opinions of doctors. We do all of that. Yes, we do. But we understand that there is still a balm in Gilead. There's still a God who heals. There's still a God who delivers. But if you get caught in doing things within your own ideologies and your own thoughts and not allowing Him to feed you through wisdom of the Word and through our friend the Holy Spirit, which leads us and guides us into all truth, you will be misled. And you will not occupy and you will not lay hold on all that God has in store for us. Amen. I believe God wants this building full. I believe He wants the building we're in and the one we're going to build full. And so I'm submitting to you. Don't get caught up in what it seems like. He told us these things would come. In the last days, perilous times, potentially increasingly dangerous times will come. But that has nothing to do. Well, it does have something to do. But that does not negate what God is going to do in the earth in this last day. And we need to be ready for it. And we need to position ourselves for it. Because, see, this is it. Because, see, the old paradigm is it's going to happen inside these four walls. But what the kingdom is calling for now, he's calling for Holy Spirit, my friend, he's calling for marketplace ministry. See, it's not always, let me make this a little plain. I think I got about four more minutes. It's not always quoting a scripture to someone. It's like when I leave my house and go down the food lane and there's a little grandmother in the grocery line behind me. And I know I have more than enough. And because I'm walking in discernment, Holy Spirit says, she don't have enough. And so I turn, and I don't worry, if y'all didn't know, that I'm black and she white. I know y'all didn't know that, which I think God is okay with. By the way, God is not colorblind. That's what you tell yourself when you can't love everybody. He wants us to see people for what they really are and love them anyway. So I don't care anything about that she's some little older white grandmother. I care that I'm discerning. The Holy Spirit is saying she don't have enough. And so without question, I'll just turn and I'll say, ma'am, may I pay for your groceries? And she breaks out in tears and says, well, you don't have to do that. I said, yes, I do, because Jesus just told me to do it. And he wants you to know that he loves you. And it's not just that. It's when I'm at the restaurant and the server, you can ask my wife, you can ask my children, and I'm sitting there, and I'm not talking about being so heavenly minded that you know earthly good, but if you're going to be one of them, be at least be heavenly minded. Because sometimes, well, anyway. And I'm sitting there, and any of Ecclesia that's ever gone out to eat with me, servers love to see me coming because everything I have belonged to my Father. He gave it to me. I'm just the steward of it. So I'll ask him, how does this waiter or waitress need to be blessed today? Yeah. And then sometime I will ask them if I get that nudging. And Holy Spirit says, now minister to them because your gift just made room for you. We quote that wrong sometimes, that your gift will make room for you. See, the $5,000 seed made room. He said, I can come back next month. Your gift will make room for you. Quote the rest of the scripture and bring you before great men. If I'm busy, I may not have Pastor Doc, I may not have time to entertain you if I'm busy. But if you show up with a $10,000 check, I just wrote you on my calendar. Because the gift makes room for you. And so a lot of times I'm sitting at the table. And yes, I know I'm eating with my family. And I know you're thinking, well, that's not the time. When is not the time? When you're discerning the time, when is the time to take off? When you know the seriousness of the day, when is the time to miss church? I'm not talking about vacation and sabbatical. We need all of that. But I'm talking about just unnecessary, oh, I'm not going today because I think it's going to rain. I'll leave that alone. And so after my gift makes room for me, I say to the young lady, I'm up in Knoxville, Tennessee, I think we were. And I say to the young lady, you're praying about the gentleman that you with because you know that he's not the one God has for you. But you're trying to make it work in your flesh. And she breaks down and cries and just starts weeping and saying, I know God sent you to tell me that because I've been praying, should I go or should I stay? I said, run, Forrest, run. Let's stand to our feet all over the room. Pastor, if I might pray. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for this precious people here at Grace House. Pastor Shale and his family and Pastor Eddie and his family and all the leaders at this church. Father, we've heard your word tonight. How critical it is that we would grow in our discernment through petition, through prayer, and through practice. Father, we want to be pleasing servants unto you. And we want your kingdom to be established in the earth. But we know that that will happen through ordinary men and women just like us that are filled with your precious Holy Spirit. Father, we can be in your house, but not walking in discernment. We can be in your church, but not walking in discernment. So, Father, tonight we thank you that discernment will be given freely in this room because we are asking for it. We want to be people that are led by your Spirit. And you said to us in your word that as many are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. So we thank you. It is never your agenda or your idea for us to stumble through this life and to aimlessly try to figure it out. But you've given us a paracletos, a helper, an advocate in Holy Spirit. And we receive him afresh tonight. We open up our hearts tonight. We receive him afresh. And Father, never again, by your grace and your help, will we go through another day and not seek what it is and how it is you want to be glorified, your name to be glorified through us. And so we will spend more time in prayer. I ask that you move every distraction, every limitation, every hindrance, every idea that makes us think we don't have time to spend time with you. You're all that we have. You're all that we need. And you're all that we want. We receive by faith now in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it tonight, clap your hands and shout glory to God.
Wow. Amen. I hope you had your oven mitts tonight because that thing's hot out of the oven. That was a good word, brother. Thank you. So inspirational. So needed. I hope all of us carry that in our hearts home tonight to be more discerning. Do what God tells us to do when he tells us to do it. Thank you. How honored we are to have you here tonight. What a wonderful, wonderful word that was. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come on up and just be available in the altar area before we dismiss tonight. And if you can put some music on back there, if possible. And always, if you have a need and you need someone to pray with you tonight, we're going to have people on both sides of the altar, please. And they'll be available just to pray with you, whatever your need may be. And I believe the Holy Spirit touched so many different areas tonight in our hearts to encourage us, to challenge us, times to convict us. So, as you respond, as you continue to meditate on what you've received tonight, if you need prayer, we want you to come up and let these brothers and sisters agree with you. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in laying hands on people. We believe in allowing the Holy Spirit to move through altar ministry. So, you were encouraged and you were invited to come. Before we go, would you just raise your hands? Father God, we receive this word tonight. This word from your word, Lord. We receive it. Thank you for challenging us, inspiring us, encouraging us tonight. Thank you for your presence in this room tonight with us. Lord, it's been good to be together in this room. Thank you for our brothers and sisters from Ecclesia. Lord, we bless them tonight. May it go well with them. May the dreams you birthed in their hearts see fulfillment and fruition in their lives. Lord, we're excited with them concerning all that you've laid before them, all that you are doing and are going to do. I know Bishop mentioned that word about a 40-acre prophecy. Lord, you know where it is. You know how to get them to it. You know how to bring it to them. We're agreeing with them. It's going to come to pass. Father, we pray that you would bless them in the wonderful ministry they have, Lord, in the daycare area in our area, meeting such a tremendous need. Just continue to bless them. Allow that to grow and flourish. And Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would now move on every heart that yet has something they need to receive in this altar area tonight, that they would come forward to receive it. Now in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, may His grace fill you to overflowing. May the power of His Holy Spirit work mightily in and through you. May the gifts of His Holy Spirit flow through you effortlessly. May the fruit of His Holy Spirit adorn your life. May you be known for loving like Jesus loves. May you be known for having a cup running over with joy. May you be known as one who walks in peace in the middle of trouble. May you be those who are seeing souls saved. May you be one who's speaking into the next generation to arise. One who's cheering on the generation going before. May you be one of those who is filled with generosity. And as we've heard tonight, may we all be people of discernment. Now go forth in the name of Jesus and change this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand before we go. And please feel free to come up for ministry in this altar. Thanks for being with us tonight. God bless you.